Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a week. Since last Friday, you'll have noticed a big change right across the world and even in Liverpool. This week, outside St. George's Hall, a protest took place. You might be listening now and you were there yourself. Family and friends might have been down there, or maybe you've been sitting at home wondering what you can do to join the fight. We've got Marcus Collins on this week, talking to us about white privilege, about the changes that need to happen, and how he experienced racism growing up. If there was ever a time to stand up and speak your mind, no matter your colour, your race, you need to do it now. Now's the time. Please spread the word, share this podcast, and sit back and listen to the wise words of the amazing Marcus Collins.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So we've got Marcus here. Outrage growing over George Floyd and the protests happening across the globe. So much so they happened in Liverpool this week. Marcus, you were there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me exactly why you were there and what the feeling was.
Okay, so I was there because this is not just a movement, this is my life. I am a person of colour who has and continues to suffer from inequality every single day. There will be something that will trigger to remind me that I'm a person of colour and that I'm less than. So we need to do something. And I don't think there's been a more important time than now. I don't think there ever will be a more important time than now. As a person of colour, to come forward and say, this is what's happening. We're all pretending everything's fine, but it's not. We need to make changes and we need to be honest and tell our truths about what's happening.
When you stood outside St. George's Hall yesterday, I imagine it was a mixed bag of emotions that you were feeling. Can you talk us through that?
So preparing to go to St. George's Hall in itself was a roller coaster in your own head, because obviously tensions are so high. People have been isolated for so long. Personally, I've been self-isolated for 76 days. I don't even go out to the shops that often. I try and get my food delivered so I don't have to go out, so I'm not going to be exposed to coronavirus. So that in itself was quite worrying. Anxiety over what you're going to put on your placard. But as I got there, the energy that was like, and it was so neutral. You could feel that it was bubbling under the surface, but it was neutral. It was a stillness. It was a calmness. Nobody wanted to create anything that would upset anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable. All were welcome. Yeah. And if you showed up, we knew what your soul was. We knew what your heart was. And it was so diverse. There was a mix of every different culture, every different skin tone, everybody. It was one of the most moving things I can honestly say I've ever been a part of.
When you walked away from that, did you walk away with a different feeling than when you arrived, Marcus?
To begin with, I often feel like I'm going through it alone, because every person of colour has their own story. So mine personally, I grew up with a single parent in a white area with one white parent and all of my white family and white friends, because there was no one locally that looked like me. And then when I've met people as I've gotten a bit older, you know, their story can be the complete opposite. They've grown up mixed race but appear to be really light skinned, and they're in an area that's full of darker skinned people, and that can be their experience. And it's everyone's got their own story, so you can feel really isolated and like nobody gets it. But when I left St. George's Hall yesterday, there was a feeling of community and solidarity and union. This is no longer white versus black. This is everybody versus racism. And that was that's something I'll carry with me forever.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Talk me through your childhood, Marcus, then. You touched on it then. So you grew up with a white parent, single mum, in a white area. When did you start to feel a little bit different? Or did you ever start to feel anxious as a child? Or was it as you started getting older?
Yeah, I grew up in Crosby. I was born in Toxteth. And my dad was in and out of prison. So we moved down to back in at my mum's parents, my nan and granddad. And I did not have any idea till I was about 5 that I looked any different, that I was any different. I remember going to nursery and being called names, having my skin pinched, people were touching my hair, pulling at me. I just didn't understand that people could be like that as young as they were. So that was quite an experience. And then I do remember it being on my school report when I was about 8, saying, this is the first time Marcus has actually drawn himself as a person of colour. I think he realises. I think that was around the time one other person of colour came to our school. So I became hypersensitive to it. My mum tried to put me in outer after school clubs and things. She put me in clubs and scouts, and I was bullied in both of them. So I just always knew that I had to do something. So I chose to soften myself. I chose to lean into my white side. I chose to try and be the life and soul of the party, try and be the funny one, give people a reason to want me there, because why would they want me there? Because I'm a person of colour. Why would they want me? I don't fit in. I don't look like them. I remember saying to my mum, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that nursery. And she tried everything to get me to go back. And I was like, I can't. Like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back. And I think she probably thought, oh, she's going to be sacking. He's 4 years of age. She doesn't want to go in.
He just wants to play at home and have his mum's butties. Yeah.
I wanted to sit and watch Sesame Street with my nan and do bacon and do all the normal things that was normal to me. It was safe. That was my safe environment. So you know, that started about 4, and the name calling is something that will continue and has continued. I hope it doesn't, but it has continued into adolescence. And
when you say you lent into your white side, how do you mean? What did you do to try and feel like you fit in with the people around you?
I would soften my voice. I would lower the volume of my speaking voice. I would speak slowly and really articulately. I would read as many books as possible so I knew words, so I sounded like I was educated. I would lighten my hair. I would find that I got more compliments if my hair was lighter. I would find that I got more comments if my eyes were lighter. If I didn't wear clothes that were branded or like basketball jerseys or anything like that, but I noticed that if I wore like a football top or just, you know, like a regular t-shirt that like one of the lads you'd see walking around town would wear, I'd get completely showers in praise. Whereas if I wore something that looked culturally, that stood out, it wouldn't work.
I can't be the only person who feels uncomfortable listening to this. This makes me feel like my shoulders are going up to my ears. I feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. As a mum, I'm forever saying to my kids, you don't have to fit in. I'm forever drumming into my... I've got a little boy here. He's obsessed with the NFL. Lives in NFL tops. And I remember him going into school and the lads wearing footy tops and them saying to him, you know, oh, you look crap in them and blah, blah, blah. And he come over to me and says, I don't want to wear that. And having this big conversation with him, that you find the brightest one in your wardrobe and you wear it tomorrow for school. And that's how you do it. That's different when you're talking about clothes, when you're talking about the colour of someone's skin. If he was getting that kind of reaction for the colour of his skin, I feel like right now I feel nauseous. How do I, as a mum, protect him? Your mum had you coming home with this same story, but with something you couldn't change. How did she cope with it?
She did all she knew at the time. She did the best that she could do at the time. However, she wasn't educated enough on it to know how to deal with it, because I think she didn't have enough experience of it. And she thought she was doing the best for me by bringing me away from, you know, where my dad was and where I was born. Because he was obviously in and out of trouble. So she was like, look, come back to me, to my family, and we're going to sit with your nan and granddad and we're going to try and start something new here. So I think by doing that, she's tried to protect me. But what she's also done is magnified my blackness 10 times to the people in this local area who were like, well, what's he doing here? Do you know what I mean? I didn't look like him. Didn't look like anyone. But she did try her best. And there are times when she's fought my corner so fiercely, but it doesn't matter. Because I'm still going to have to walk past those people in the street. I'm still going to have to live on the same council flat, and they're still going to live in the same council flat. It's still going to happen. You're still going to bump into these people. So it just becomes a matter of, you need to develop thicker skin. I noticed with my upbringing, I don't know whether this is just mine or anybody else's, but I am expected to be perfect. And if I make a mistake, all hell breaks loose. If I don't get 100%, all hell breaks loose. Yeah. I even remember being on Celebrity Juice, where it's okay for Holly Willoughby to sit and smoke and swear like a trooper. And I went on and was told, they played my song on it, I played the games, it was single promo. And I was categorically told by management and the label, you will not swear on this show. You will sit there, you will smile, and you will make sure that people know the single's out.
Yeah.
And I thought, why is she allowed to do it, but I'm not allowed to do it? She's on This Morning. She's, you know, the nation's sweetheart, blonde hair, blue eyes. Why is she allowed to speak freely and have a laugh and show both sides of her personality? And I've got to be a puppet. I don't understand, like, why? There was no answer to it. It's album promo. And when you think it's single and album promo, that just turns into money. And if it's money, then you need to do what you've said you're going to do by contract or you're out. That's something that, you know, it just speaks volumes when I look back at it. I've repressed a lot of it, and I've tried not to talk about it out of fear, as I say, and also to just think, well, crack on, nothing's going to change. But in this moment, it's really important that I am as transparent as possible so that the things that have happened to me don't happen to my brother. The things that have happened to me don't happen to the next generation of people who are going to be signed to that label, who are going to be creating music and told it's too ethnic or it's not ethnic enough. Or, you know, I just really want to change or contribute. I just want to contribute in some way.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Going through what you're going through right now, what changes can you see happen, or what would you hope to God would happen, be it over the next few weeks, months, years, whatever? Do you visualise a better world, and how do you see it happening?
I visualise a much better world, a world where people of colour don't have to soften themselves, people of colour don't have to use, you know, your telephone voice. You've got a telephone voice. You're a radio presenter. You know you've got a telephone voice.
You've heard me in the pub.
Honestly, like, I learned that growing up, that's your telephone voice, but that didn't become my telephone voice. That became my white voice. So I need to speak with that. I need to use that when I go into places of employment. You do not use slang. You do not abbreviate anything in text messages. Like, that needs to go. We need to just be okay. The fact that the law has just changed for women to be able to wear their natural hair, how it grows out of their head, and cannot be given disciplinaries for looking unkempt. The comments like that can't be happening anymore. Nobody
that
can be making...
to you, didn't it, Mark? Because I think you've got an important story to tell when it comes to that. Didn't you go into school with a certain hairdo?
Yeah, I went into school. I grew my hair out because at the time there was like Lamar and loads of people who were in the industry and, you know, were kind of big time, were appearing with these, like, you know, beautiful braids and camos and all of these looks that I never experienced. And it was an entire catalogue of culture that I'd never tapped into before. So I remember this was around the time that I was just, that I found out that I had a brother by my dad. I had a half-brother, my brother Liam. This was about the time that I started to really want to investigate my blackness. I would go into town and start looking around for restaurants and places that did Caribbean food. I tried desperately to meet people who were like me. Anything that I could do to try and to do that, I would. I got it done over the summer, and I bumped into one of the heads of the school, funnily enough, in Liverpool. So I said, oh, I miss, how are you? And she was like, yeah, not too bad, Marcus, nice to see you. So I see you in school. And I said, is my hair okay? And she was like, looks great. And then I got into school and I got told by my head of year, you can't have that. Now, it's a fashion style and it's messy and it's, you know, we don't have fashion styles at the school. And I said, well, I spoke to somebody, I seen somebody outside the school, like, you can't have it. And they told me that it was fine. And she said, I've already spoke to her. And when she seen it, she thought you were a girl. It would have been acceptable for a woman, but not for you. That's got to go.
What?
Take them out or you're getting suspended. And this was in 2001.
And
ridiculous.
So you had to go home and take them out?
Yeah. And I paid to have them put in. I'd saved to put them in. I'd gone out of my way to research where people were getting them done. At that time, I remember crying to one of our dinner ladies, who was the only black member of staff I remember crying to her saying, why are they making me do this? And she said, sometimes it's the rules and you just need to go with it for now. But there'll be a time when you can wear them, and you can wear them in the summer and in the break, so you don't need to feel like that. And that's what kind of led me to rebel. So if you know, you see my Instagram, I've got pink hair, blue hair, green hair.
Yeah.
I'll change my hair now because I'm emotionally triggered from being told that I couldn't be my authentic self as a child.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to walk around with highlighted neon green hair, it's happening. Because I can. I'm in control of that. I have the choice, and no one is telling me how I need to look or who I need to be anymore.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Sit up and listen to what Marcus is about to say. I'm going to ask the all-important question now.
Okay.
As a white woman sitting here, first of all, I know I need to educate myself more. If this has taught me anything, I need to know exactly what we're dealing with. It's no good me going, I would never raise a racist child and this, okay. I don't condone this. That's all good and well. But to you, to look at me and go, well, Leanne, let's talk about white privilege.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to talk to me about today.
White privilege for me is direct result of historic and enduring racism. For me, it exists from the after effect of slavery, the after effect of segregation, the continuing police brutality, the racism, the abuse. White privilege is not an offensive thing, and a lot of people hear it and go, well, why are you... They get defensive instantly and they attack as soon as they hear it. And if to anybody who's listening, please let me reassure you, this is not something that is designed to make white people feel less. This is not something that is designed so black people have got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's an observation, and there are so many different types of privilege. Socioeconomic privilege, male privilege, heterosexual privilege, cisgender privilege, having the privilege of being born, feeling the sex that you are into that body. That's not something that everybody gets. Able-bodied privilege, some people are born and will never use their legs, never use their arms, they can't use anything. So for you to be a person who can, you have to accept that there are things that people who are just as equal as you cannot do just for the fact that they were born that way. It's not an attack. White privilege is the most enduring one of them all throughout history, and it is that way because I imagine because of the way it makes people feel, the way it sounds. The fact that it takes a person of colour, usually the oppressed person, to educate the person who is benefiting from it, and they feel it's going to take something away from them, and it really won't. All I want from people is that they understand that being born where your skin colour isn't working negatively against you. It doesn't mean your life hasn't been hard. It means that your skin colour isn't making it harder for you. That's it.
Yeah.
Now is not the time to be scared. I'm like, this fear of asking the questions is what I get every time I go on a night out in town. It's what I get every time I get in my car, which I've saved years for, and I get in it and I get pulled over and they want to know why I've got it. And then they say, oh, well, done the telly, have you? Is it because of that? And I'm mocked by the police.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fear that I carry with me, that I'm going to be arrested or be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I want to hand my knowledge to you. I want to hand what I've learned to you because I sit somewhere between both cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to add the fact that I'm gay into that, but here we are. Do you know what I mean? But I want to share that. Honestly, it's just nice to tick all the boxes for things that offend people, isn't it? But
I could listen to you all day. I've never, ever been prouder, ever of you. I think what you're doing is just sensational, and I know we all have our part to play. So please follow Marcus on Instagram, educate yourself. Give us, before you go, give us your, I know you've been talking about ways that we can educate ourselves. Please, if anyone who hasn't got Instagram and can't follow you, tell us now, what would be the one thing you would say, go out, do this and understand what's going on?
First thing above all else, you must use your white privilege to confront racial injustice everywhere. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. It doesn't matter if it makes you uncomfortable. George Floyd was uncomfortable when he had a knee on his neck, which he died from.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. We need you to call this out now. When you see it, call it out. If it's dangerous, shout and get off, but at least you're going to distract and give the person enough time to get away. Yeah. Whatever it is, any racial injustice, please call it out. We need you to be more than, well, I'm not racist. We need you to be anti-racist and call that out. We need you to promise and listen and amplify our voices, because we're very often overlooked and not heard. And we need you to teach other white people the barriers to success for people of colour.
You saw it this week outside St. George's Hall. Everyone is in this. Mm-hmm. And we're all here. And you are amazing. And I love you so much. And thank you so
you
much,
too.
Marcus.
Thank you for amplifying my voice and being a wonderful ally and a belter drinking buddy. Love you.
Let's see what we can do from here on in, Marcus.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.